Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Adisk, to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events for Tuesday, August 12th, 2014. Good afternoon, Al.
Oh, Melody.
Oh, I don't know. I wonder if anybody's listening to the program today. I'm sure yesterday everybody was listening to the news about Robin Williams. That just seems like everything I turn on, every radio station I turn to, every program I turn to, it's all about Mr. Williams. And so
it is a strange situation.
Mm-hmm.
It's a sort of, it's really, in some regards, you know, I understand. Apparently the man we had a serious problem with depression.
And obviously.
Yeah, I guess so. But they were aware of it, but they didn't understand the extent of it, apparently. But it was a serious problem. I get that. When you have mental illness, there's no way you can explain. You can't rationally explain what people do when they're truly mentally ill. But still, there's something about that story that's just offensive to me. The guy has had, it, at least from outward appearances, the man appears to have had almost everything the world can offer. Family, children, a couple of wives, I have no idea how many homes, travel around the world. The man's got to be, I assume he's got to be a multimillionaire. Yeah, he's got to be a multimillionaire. I don't doubt that for a minute. You know, he's got it all, and yet it's not enough. It's irritating to me. There's something about that that just offends me. There's people out here that are getting along just fine, and they're not suicidal, and they might not be making 20 grand a year, or even 10. They're doing okay. I'm not sure there's something to be learned from Robin Williams' demise. And I think I saw a video that he was involved in, a recent production. And I don't know if it really reflected his opinions or not, but he was playing the part of an atheist mm-hmm. who had died. And he found out he was still here, meaning he was still alive in a sense, kind of like a ghost or spirit. And he had no idea. He's saying, I thought I'd be gone by now. I don't understand why I'm still here. Seemed to reflect what the man really thinks. I don't know that it's true, but it seemed to reflect that. And what I'm getting to is, if you don't have a good sense of God in your life, you can reach a point where it all just becomes meaningless. I mean, it really does. If you don't have a life that's anchored in what you, in the good Lord, you don't believe in that. It's like, what am I doing here? Why am I still here? What difference does it make if I live, die, or whatever? It makes a difference if you are involved in service to the good Lord. It makes a difference if you love the Lord. You got something real to do and can do continue. And what, I get the feeling that Robin Williams didn't have that. Had all that money, all that wealth, fame, blah, blah, blah. And I think maybe he didn't have the good Lord. And, you know, it's hard to say. I don't know that any of that is true. That's just my speculation. And even if, you know, the man may have been a profound Christian and still stumbled into an episode of depression that was more than he could handle.
Which that does happen.
Yeah, I know. I know. Okay. There's no way of knowing for sure what's going on here. I'm just saying, mm-hmm. It really offends me. It's almost insulting. You know, I can understand people that are poor and suffering. Right? I can understand some of them might want to kill themselves. But not many of them do. But here we go. Here we go. Rich guy.
And it wasn't
rich
even
guy's got everything.
And it wasn't even an accidental overdose.
No.
But there were reports that he was having money problems, and I've seen on the internet things that float by while you're looking for things, that his home had been up for sale. You know, Robin Williams' whole house for sale and blah, 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 blah. He was recently married. I think he only remarried his third wife a year ago. You're right. Money doesn't buy happiness, does it?
No, I guess not. I don't, at least not as much money as I have.
Not for him.
There's still a possibility that if I had more money, I might be happier than I am. I don't know that money, at least at the level that I have, that doesn't necessarily buy happiness, but more might. I'm willing to experiment and find out, Melody. If I could get another million or 2 million or 10 million, I'd try it.
But you know what, and I don't know where I'm going on this, and maybe we should just get to the market report. But to me, I find it sort of fascinating, or I'm curious, or I'm not sure the correct description, definition. But here's a comedian,
yeah,
which many people can relate to, an older generation. I was on the radio, and this young girl called in, and the guy asked her about Robin Williams, and she said, "Who?"
Yeah.
He says, "The voice for Aladdin or something like that." Oh yeah, okay, now I know. It's amazing how, I mean, there's big specials on TV tonight. There's all kinds of hour specials on Robin Williams and so forth. Here's a man who entertained. I enjoyed some of his comedy roles, not all of them. Sometimes he was just a very irritating through his comedy routines. I wouldn't say he's number one on my list for. And look how the media has celebrate, and how they've. People just seem to idolize humans anymore, and it's disturbing. Pardon?
I don't understand what you mean.
They hold this man up.
Yeah,
and sure, you know, he entertained people.
Yeah,
and it's like
a terrible business, though.
Yeah, but I mean, I think because the lack of God anymore,
I think that's
we
big
seem to idolize people.
Yeah,
and I think that's wrong, and that's what disturbs me.
Yeah, we are hyped. We get into that. That people make a fortune,
and it's about that
hyped.
Too. Yeah.
But once you get into it, it's a deadly situation. For example, Elvis Presley, he for me, he's a classic example, died from drug overdose, and he was just flooded with drugs. It wasn't, you know, he did cocaine one night or something, and he had too much heroin or whatever. He just had drugs and drugs and drugs in his system, as I understand it. Why? And the reason is that once they create that image in the public mind, the public wants to mm-hmm. see that image every time the entertainer shows up.
Okay.
And you may become a star when you're 19 years old. But by the time you get to be 35, you can't be that teenager.
And 63.
right? And you've got to do drugs in order to summon up that persona that the audience wants to see, because some nights you just don't feel like doing a show. But you got a contract, and you got to show up anyway. You've got to do this live, and you've got to come out, and you've got to be bright and intelligent. And if you're a singer, you got to have a great voice, and you got to have lots of energy. And there are times as you get older, you can't do that. And they don't want to hear it. The audience doesn't want to hear it. So what do? You take stimulants in order to generate that illusionary persona and once again be the 19-year-old kid that you haven't been in truth for a decade or more. It's tough because you got to generate that old persona. And it's tough for a lot of people, at least. And it's one of the great dangers in live entertainment.
And it is sad. And one of the comments Robin Williams made was, cocaine is God's way of telling you you're rich.
Well, he also called it the devil's dandruff.
Uh-huh.
You know, and I don't doubt, as frantic and manic as he was, I mean, he generated an incredible level of energy when you
yes.
saw him live.
Mm-hmm.
We can all wonder, is that the real man or is that the man on stimulants? And there's a point in time where if you take enough stimulants, the equation has to balance out. You can take enough stimulants where you're always up and you're always, you know, your brain's moving faster and all that. Take enough of them, there's going to be, you know, a day when the system balances out and all of a sudden you can't hardly move, and maybe that's what happened to Robin. But hard to say, but it is just, it irritates me. There's something about that man's suicide that just irritates me.
Well, let's give gold some stimulants.
Okay, let's do it.
Well, we got $1.50 out of gold today, up 13.10 off the high of 13.18. It opened up real nice and strong this morning, popped up and popped back down. Same thing with silver, hanging on that $20 level, down 12 cents today from the high of 20.25. You have platinum, 1473, and palladium, 881, up a couple bucks there for palladium. USDX 81.51.06 to the upside. Crude oil down almost another dollar, 0.84 at 97.24. And the paper markets today seem to, you know, they up and down the European markets, and nobody knows what they want to do. Everyone is expecting a, you know, some sort of a big turnaround time. We'll just have to wait and see. But the stocks barely managed to do much of anything today. The Dow was down 9 points at 16,560. The NASDAQ was down 12 at 43.89. And the S&P, 1933. And the 10-year yield is still 2.42%. So, that's it in a nutshell, Al.
Well, as a judge told me one time, if the shell fits, wear it. And I always thought that was one of the funnier remarks. I was completely at a loss. He came to speak at a group that I was hosting at the time, and we introduced him, and I don't remember what we said exactly, but it seemed something about a nutshell, and he said, well, if the shell fits, wear it.
All right.
I thought that was funny, and I'll get that guy one of these days. That was probably 15, 20 years ago, but I'm going to get him.
So do we have time? Let's talk about the fire in the Arizona to cut pensions.
Well, that's interesting stuff. This is for the Optimist of the Year award. Guy by the name, you know, and this year the Optimist of the Year award goes to Brian Jeffries, the chief of Arizona's Firefighters Association, who's been arguing to anyone who will listen that his members and the state's police officers, too, this is Arizona, should volunteer to cut their own pension benefits. Oh, my gosh. Nothing's impossible. Who can say? Maybe it'll happen, but, you know, it's like, Oh, you're gonna get some government employees to voluntarily cut their pensions. That's your plan, huh? And it includes him, you know. It says Mr. Jeffries, a fourth-generation Arizonan who's been a firefighter and a city councilor, says that emergency workers have a special obligation to protect the public, not only from physical peril, but also from financial ruin. After all, government's here to help us, not here to ruin us. Huh? Cutting pensions for firefighters and police officers would help save their woefully underfunded retirement plan and bail out towns and cities that are struggling to keep up with their mandated contributions. Well, he's undoubtedly right. But so what? What's that got to do with anything? You're going to try to persuade the police officers and the firefighters to give up their pensions. Well, part of them, reduce them, not give them up completely, but cut their pensions in order to save the rest of the state. What do you think, Melody?
Well, I mean, you know, corporations offer payroll cutbacks, you know, where people can, you know, get a reduced pay or leave their job. So you have an option. You know, either you go along with the program or you're out of here, your choice. So that's the other option they won't talk about.
Well, even if they do, though, they're caught in a situation where they probably can't fire the police officers, can't fire the fire department.
You'd be surprised.
They just can't afford to pay them.
You don't need to fire all of them. Just
no, I know that.
Being an example,
or I understand
you don't get
that.
Promoted and you don't get the raise, and then there's other ways to.
Yeah,
you know,
there's
two
ways of doing it, and then you have a work slowdown and whatever. It's just a no
They'll
way.
They'll just replace you with somebody that's willing to do it. That's all. So
that,
either you accept the cutback, or we'll bring in people who will replace you at lower wages. It's as simple as that.
Well, you're going to have to bring in people who've been trained.
Well, there's a lot of military coming back, isn't there, for the police?
Yeah, there's military coming back for the police, but I'm not sure how long it takes to train a firefighter and where you get the training. I'm sure some people get it in the military or whatever. But the larger point is that we have a state whose pension system is so disabled at this time that they've got to start asking government employees to take a cut in their pensions. And the probability of that succeeding, you know, nothing's impossible. They may go along with it. They may say, well, it's the right thing to do. It's possible. But it's not likely. And the fact that they're even trying is evidence of desperation at the state and local levels of government in Arizona. So we got to cut costs somehow. And one of the points behind this is that these cost-cutting measures will almost certainly impact the employees, government employees. What we're seeing here in Arizona, we can expect to see similar attempts to reduce the payrolls for government employees in the future. And it's going to be painful. Nobody's going to want to go along with it, at least no one who works for the government. But there have been studies that, at least at the federal level, people are being paid double. Federal employees are being paid double what they could make doing the same work in the private sector. And there's reason to believe that being paid in the state and local level, government employees may be making more. When you take their entire benefit package, they may be making a lot more working for government than they could working in the private sector. How are you going to make that reasonable? How are you going to, at a time when some people don't have jobs, how are you going to make the pay for government employees equitable? Not just what you can extort out of the public, but what you actually earn. It just points to rising tensions in the economy, and the moment is coming when they're just going to say, look, the taxpayers don't have it, they're not paying it, it's not going to happen. What's going to happen to government employees? They're going to have a serious problem. And probably, you know, not so long from now. What we see in Arizona is another one of those leaves in the breeze. We'll be back in a moment. I'm Alfred Addis with Melody Cedarstrom on Financial Survival. Please stay tuned.
pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in an untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate in those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad-spectrum immune-boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Or take your chances with the bad boys. Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free, 866-229-3663, or online, thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com, or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Adisk, and this is Financial Survival. I'm here with Melody Cedarstrom, and the program is brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver. And Melody will now tell us what's next.
I started doing some comparison on $20 gold pieces from back on the peak. I was pulling up some price lists from wholesale prices. Oh, from about May of 2009, we pretty much hit the peak in that year. Into 2010, it was the hottest market for $20 gold pieces and gold in general. And I saw that $20 gold pieces at their peak were selling at over $1,000 over bullion spot gold. Gold at those times was selling about $985, $987, and $20 gold pieces were selling for, almost $2,100.
What mint state are you talking about?
Mint state 62, $20 Liberty gold pieces.
Yeah.
It's the one I was doing the comparison on. I get so sick and tired of all these commentators who say how bad $20 gold pieces are. But they really don't look at the coin itself and how it can perform in the right markets. And what you do when it gets to the higher prices. We have a plan. When you buy 1 ounce gold bullion coins, all you will ever have is a 1 ounce gold bullion coin. Well, there's nothing wrong with that. You know, price of gold goes up. It's fantastic. You should have it in your portfolio. But when you go into the $20 gold pieces, you do get that extra leverage over the melt value of the coin, over the spot gold. Here they were selling for over $1,000. Over the spot price of gold. I mean, and I do believe they will do this once again. Today they're selling, what, $120, $125 over what a gold eagle would sell for? It's the perfect time. to be buying $20 gold pieces. And a lot of these dealers say, oh, well, you know, they charge too much for them. To some degree, they're right, because I wouldn't buy these $20 gold pieces from any other dealer but probably myself. Because I price them right, and I sell the right coins when they're priced right. I wouldn't want to go to any of these dealers and, you know, I don't think I can say the names, but the common names that you hear on the same venue where we advertise, they're very high-priced coins. They charge 30% commissions. Yes, that is too much to pay for a $20 gold piece, Mint State 62. But we have them today for $1,500, and it's a steal at that price. Mint State 62, $20 Liberty gold pieces, 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. A lot of these guys who talk bad about $20 gold pieces, when you look at their bullion prices, you probably pay more in commission on those gold bullion prices than you would pay with discount gold and silver on this special right here. So it's a great deal. Visit our website at dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com. Make sure you sign up for our weekly newsletter. And our radio programs are archived there on a daily and monthly basis. Al?
Got a caller from Arkansas, Joe. Hello, Joe.
Yes, hello, and Melody.
Hi.
Hello. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I have been reading a biography of George Washington, and it said something interesting in there that I found very interesting that I want to share with you guys. And that's this. Okay, the author says that before he became the commander-in-chief of the Revolutionary Army, George Washington was a farmer in Virginia. And he was a real big-time farmer, so they called those planters. And it says that he started off following the traditional Virginia planter or plantation system, and that was that he would grow tobacco, and he would give this tobacco crop to a guy called a factor, and this factor would load it on a ship and take it to England, where he would sell it. And with the tobacco, the planter would give the factor a list of manufactured goods that he wanted brought back from England. And so the factor would sell the tobacco, and with the money from the tobacco, buy the manufactured goods that the planter wanted, and then bring it all back across the ocean and take care of business back in Virginia. And so George Washington found that by following this system, he was going deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper into debt to his factor. And he figured there must be a better way to do things. And what he figured was that if he would grow food for the local market and then go to, and apparently there wasn't any manufacturing in Virginia at that time, but there was in Pennsylvania. So if he would grow food for the local market and then go to Philadelphia to buy whatever manufactured goods he needed, then he found that he was doing a lot better that way, started to turn a profit and started to get out of debt to his sector. So I thought that was an interesting story to show, for one, number one, that there's nothing new about the global economy, and number two, we tend to be better off keeping our trade local. And you were talking about the underfunded pension plans before, and I just kind of wonder if the managers of those pension funds, if they ever think that maybe if we didn't have a $500 billion annual trade deficit, maybe the money would be available to fund those pension funds.
Well, we do a lot of crazy things, and we mentioned it on this program. We just talked about it maybe yesterday, last couple of days, maybe yesterday. Just pointing out, there are a lot of insane things that happen in our economy. And when you look at them, they seem irrational, but you have to admit they've worked. Their seemingly irrational behavior has worked for a number of years, even decades. But it seems like a day's coming when the irrational is going to break down. And when it does, I believe you'll be able to trace virtually all of the irrationality in our economy back to a single choice that we made years ago, and that was to accept a fiat currency rather than a currency backed by gold and silver. Once we abandoned currencies backed by gold and silver, and we became a pure fiat currency, government can spin currency out of thin air. It's like writing checks and they never have to make good on the checks. As long as it's fiat currency, they never have to make good on the checks. That's an exaggeration. Never is not true. But there's some truth to that, and it's the great danger. It laid the foundation for big government, for unlimited government, for a police state, for all the problems that a lot of us are concerned with. Trace it back to a currency that government can just spin out of thin air, because once they do that, they can buy anything they want, bribe anybody they want. No. They can have anything they want, essentially, because they are the producers of the currency. If they had gold or silver, we the people are the producers of the currency insofar as we pull it out of the ground, or we work in our industries and people give us, people send gold from foreign countries to pay for whatever our industries produce if we're hardworking and diligent listen. So, I don't know. We're going to see a day of reckoning and a restoration of some sort of logic to this economic system, but it's not going to be fun. And I don't even know if it'll be understood. Do you think it'll be understood, Joe? I mean, when we have a problem, and there is, if you agree with that analysis, that there's going to be essentially a day of reckoning, do you think it'll be understood by the majority of people or even a significant minority?
I do wonder about that, you know, because the powers that be seem to be so good at keeping people on the wrong track and misleading and keeping people away from thinking about, you know, what the real basic cause of the problem is. And personally, I'm not so sure it's, you know, just fiat currency, but it seems to me that, like, the main problem is the fact that not only do we have fiat currency, but the fiat currency represents debt owed to private banks. You know, the money comes into circulation, the money comes into existence. So when somebody contracts a debt to a bank, and then they owe the debt back plus interest, so there's never enough money in existence actually to pay the debt, you know, because the principal was created when the bank made the loan, but the interest was not. So we have
and
to
what's
go further
the solution
and further
to the problem?
Expand the money supply.
What's the solution? What's the solution? They don't create enough money this year to pay off the existing debt, including the interest on the existing debt. So what's the solution to the problem?
Well, I see some possible solution. I like the solution of the going back to gold and silver money, you know, because that's a real simple, straightforward money system where money, you know, actually represents real wealth, real tangible wealth that actually exists. I like that. I like that idea a lot. But it looks to me like the Lincoln greenback system would not be so bad, you know, where government would not borrow the money from the Federal Reserve Bank, but would just print up the money and declare it legal tender itself. And that way, at least we would not go into debt. You know, the government might want to spend excessively, you know, lots more money than needed, and we might have inflation like that. But at least we wouldn't have debt at the same time. So right now we have a system which, you know, by its nature creates both inflation and debt, whereas the Lincoln greenback system, you know, would create some inflation very possibly, but at least we wouldn't have that huge debt, you know, that would go bigger and bigger and bigger and finally collapse the economy because we just couldn't pay it. So I can see a number of systems, you know, a lot better than what we have. Now, it seems like right now we have the worst possible system.
It may get to be the worst before when it completely breaks down. It's a great system on the way up. You know, it's everybody's yippee. The economy is soaring and rising, and everybody can get rich seemingly on the way up. But when it goes down, and it will. The same leverage that took it up, that leverage will take it down, and people will be shocked. All right? When I was asking what can be done, what I kind of meant was, how can the government deal with it? If you're correct that they produce loans, we go into debt this year, but the government doesn't print enough money to pay the interest, which means we're always in debt. That's part of the problem. Their solution to the problem is that we have to go deeper into debt next year. And the extra debt, if we're in a debt for $1 million this year, we have to go into debt for $1,200,000 next year. And the year after that, we have to go into debt for $1,500,000. And the year after that, we have to go into debt for $2 million, you know, just relatively speaking. And the reason is because out of the new and excess debt, we begin I think that's where we find the money to pay off the previous debt, or at least pay off the interest on the previous debt, keep these loans functional. But my point is, this is a Ponzi scheme. And it will only last as long as we can keep going deeper into debt. And at the point in time when we can no longer go deeper into debt, then fundamental problems become apparent. They're concealed by going into more debt and more debt and more debt. We don't see some of the problems. When we can't go into more debt, the illusion will be lost. The smoke, the mirrors, the rest of it will be blown away and shattered. And all of a sudden, people are going to say, what the heck is going on here? Who do you suppose will not be saying, what the heck is going on here, Joe?
I heard that the government the other day, I heard on the news that the government is now attacking Bitcoin and trying to scare people away from using Bitcoin. So it looks like maybe that's a good idea to get more into Bitcoin. Personally, I haven't got into Bitcoin at all myself. You know, I'm not that much into computer stuff. But sounds like that might be a real solution, you know, because on the news, you know, the government is talking against it, trying to scare people away from it. So that might be a really good thing that we ought to make more use of.
It might not be a bad thing.
Solution.
Bitcoin, again, is a fiat currency. It is, in many regards, identical. The difference between Bitcoin and the money in your bank account is the source of the currency. And Bitcoin is derived from the people. It's kind of a free market situation, and it might be rational or irrational. Price might jump, might fall. It can be volatile, but regardless, it is a function of the free market. Well, if you're going to use Federal Reserve notes and the government's virtual currencies, the government is in control of it. And the issue isn't which one is a better currency. The best currency around would be gold or silver, if that can be done. But the second issue, if you have to deal with a fiat currency, are you better off dealing with a fiat currency whose value is established in the free market? Or are you better off dealing with a fiat currency whose value is established and controlled by the government and or Federal Reserve? Who do you trust more? There's one other point also. You talked about having a gold and silver-based currency and or silver-based currency as a good idea, and I agree with you. Well, there's a problem. How are we going to have a gold-based currency, for example, if it turns out that rumors that are abundant that the government has sold off most of the currency at Fort Knox and the U.S. Treasury, have sold off most of the gold, out of Fort Knox and the U.S. Treasury. If it's been secretly sold off and we don't have any more gold left, or we have virtually no more gold left in the U.S. Treasury, how could we have a gold-based currency if we don't have any gold? It may be we're going to be condemned to deal with a fiat currency, whether we want it or we don't want it, simply because the gold may be gone. Do you understand what I'm saying, Joe?
Yes, I do. And I don't think, from my studies, I'm coming to the conclusion that the problem is not so much fiat currency. The problem is that the currency is borrowed from the banks, and, you know, therefore, to get money into circulation to do commerce always requires us to go further and further and further into debt to the banks to create the fiat currency. But if the fiat currency is issued directly by somebody, either by the government or, you know, by some private interest, as in the case of Bitcoin, or by some private interest again, as in the case of fiat currencies like Ithaca ours, as long as the currency doesn't represent debt owed to the bank, then it's not so destructive. You know, the biggest problem.
I'll tell you what, Joe,
just
hold on for a second. We're going to take a break. We're going to take a break for some commercial announcements. I'm Alfred Adask here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. And when we come back, we're going to talk about the purpose of money. What's the difference between money and currency? And it goes to the kinds of problems that Joe's been talking about. Please stay tuned. We'll be right back.
have denied internet access for their people during civil strife. The FCC seized in-use commercial shortwave frequencies right after the September 11th attacks. No one communication system can be depended on to be there when you need information. You need choices. You need a Ku-band free-to-air satellite system from AVR. The AVR system includes a receiver, an LNB, and a 75-centimeter dish. All you need to get on your own is the coaxial cable. The system is delivered to your door for $149.99. That's right, delivered for $149.99. That's the shipping and the system, $149.99. Call 541-225-4659. That's 541-225-4659. Or visit AmericanVoiceRadio.com and click Satellite System.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it. Nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cedarstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cedarstrom on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver at 1-800-375-4188. We're talking to Joe from Arkansas about we're talking about the nature of money and some of the consequences, adverse consequences that are associated with our modern Federal Reserve notes. And one of them that Joe had mentioned is that the problem is you got to go into debt, all right, and the relationship of debt to the currency. And this is far more, and the significance of going into debt is far greater than most people understand or even imagine. And when I say most, I mean 99% or maybe even more than that. When you, all of the currency that's in circulation is loaned into circulation. What does that mean, Joe? Got a quick answer for me? Oh, Joe may not be there anymore. All right, here's the situation. If you loan currency into circulation, who owns the currency? This is not a small question. This is a vital question and a profound question. And the answer is vital, critical, profound. If the currency is loaned into circulation, legal title to the currency remains with whoever loaned the currency. All right? It goes to the question of who owns the green pieces of paper in your wallet? Who owns them? Because they were loaned into circulation, not spent into circulation, they were loaned into circulation, therefore whoever made the loan still owns those legal title to those green pieces of paper and will continue to own legal title to those green pieces of paper until the original loan is repaid, which is probably never going to happen. This is complex, surprising, confusing, but all you have in your green pieces of paper in your wallet is equitable title. You have the right to use those pieces of paper, and you have the right, because you have equitable title, you have the right to possess them, and you can use them to make purchases, but you can't use them to buy things. And it sounds like a crick. It sounds crazy. It's not. It is profound. It means that the products you purchased with those green pieces of paper, legal title goes to the Federal Reserve and equitable title goes to you. You have a right of use, you have a right of possession, but you don't have a right of real ownership. And as a result, government can take your property from you because you don't have legal title to it. Why? Because you purchased it with currency that you don't own. The great thing about gold and silver coin, it's irrelevant whether the coins are made out of gold or silver. There's reasons to make it out of gold, reasons to make it out of silver, but the most important thing about money is that real money carries both legal and equitable title. And that means when you buy something with real money, you get legal and equitable title to whatever it is you buy. When you purchase with legal tender and fiat currencies, you get equitable title. If you don't have legal title, you don't have standing at law. You can't get into a court of law. You only go to a court of equity. And I know how hard this is to understand, and it even sounds crazy to a lot of people. So I'm not going to belabor it anymore. But I'm telling you, there is enormous legal and political danger in a currency that's loaned into circulation. And it goes to the issue. Historically, if someone robbed you, and suppose back 1800s, 1900, somebody robbed a farmer and stole his gold coins and went out and bought 300 head of cattle. And they catch up with the thieves. What happens to the cattle? The cattle goes to the guy who actually owned the money. It goes to the farmer. He might not get his gold back, but he does get the cattle that were bought with his money. It's a fundamental idea that goes back in history. The man that owns the money owns what the money buys. But when the currency is loaned into circulation, you don't own the green pieces of paper in your pocket. I used to publish a magazine years ago, and I processed credit cards. And in the when I applied for the credit cards to process them, they came down to inspect, you know, my business and see if they thought I was credible enough. Whatever. And the woman I was talking to represented the credit card company. She volunteered at one point that every credit card transaction goes through the Federal Reserve. And your first thought is, what for? What do they care? If you're out buying Post Toasties or something, they're recording, the Federal Reserve gets a record. Why? Because they loaned that currency into circulation. And when you buy things with a credit card, they want to keep track of everything they have legal title to. You have equitable title, they have legal title. This is a complex subject and the sort of thing that I'm sure most people can't comprehend. Probably a bad idea for me to try to explain it, but I'm telling you, you should be sensitive to this idea because it is crucial, fundamental, and vital to understanding what's happening in the money system. What's next, Melody?
We got some information. Detroit has had a lot of rain. This came in from one of our listeners and callers on a regular basis and client. And it goes to the GM Tech Center. And with all the rain that they've had up there, there's been some significant flooding. And he sent me some the General Motors Tech Center in Warren sustained flood damage after torrential rain pummeled the area last night. The facility is closed today. The automaker's 19,000 workers didn't report to work today. And they're still assessing the damage and expect to have more information later today. However, Dave sends us, he says all the tunnels are flooded. He talked to an electrician friend that was there. All their tools are underwater. The rainwater has been contaminated with the sewage water. All of the 3D printer machines and Taurus machines are underwater. He asked about the 13.2 power. He said he heard that one of the breakers blew up. They weren't sure about the main computer room. And there were cars that were on Van Dyke, I'm assuming that's some sort of a storage facility, had floated away. So it seems like GM is certainly getting their problems, and I'm not sure what this, you know, what the outcome of this and how much impact this will have on GM. But
well, it's a little of a straw on the camel's back. We have to wonder how many more straws can GM absorb before something breaks.
Mm-hmm.
They've had just trouble after trouble after trouble and problem after problem. And this apparently is yet another one. And the people, you're going to have to admire the management at General Motors if they can get through this. This is probably as much challenge, and I don't just mean the rain situation today, but the trouble they've had in the last 18 months is probably as much as you can expect any corporation to survive. So if they get through this, it'll be something they'll tell their grandkids about, and they'll say, you should have been here when we were really on the ropes.
Plus, you also have to think about the 19,000 employees there. They're going to be off work, and if it's something that has to be changed, replaced, retooled, it'll be interesting to see what happens to those positions for any length of time. We had a question that came in yesterday. This is in from Ivan. He says, according to DNA India, Daily News and Analysis India, colossal shipments of gold leaving Switzerland for India in recent months have alerted top central agencies such as Intelligence Bureau and Customs on the possibility of the Indian black money stashed in Swiss banks being routed back to the country in the form of gold through Hawala operators active in Dubai. Swiss authorities peg gold import by India at 1.63 billion francs in the month of June. Data from Swiss government reveals that bullion exports to India accounted for 41% of the total June exports. In the month of May, bullion exports to India from the country formed 33% of the total shipments. And Ivan wants to know, what is our take on that?
Well, we talked about it a little bit during the break.
Mm-hmm. Yes, we did.
And you might as well explain it, because you understand what's going on there almost certainly. The large point here is that we hear the story of a lot of gold moving from Switzerland to India. And the result in the news media is a kind of conspiracy theory that suspects this is evidence of money from a black market. Mm-hmm. But in fact, there's a different explanation. It may not be a conspiracy theory, may not be sinister. Go ahead and tell them.
Well, I think, the old tax laws in India, they had put an import tax on gold. And with the new elections, the gentleman that took over, he eliminated that. So this could just be a reintroduction of gold back into that country, because we know India is a big buyer of gold. So this is funneling that gold back into India. The demand that was
it's
cut
just
off.
The pent-up demand.
Pent-up demand.
Ballpark figure, I don't know how long it's been, roughly a year since India passed laws to restrict the importation of gold into India. All right? And people started to say, hey, we can't get gold, we'll take silver. They started buying a lot of silver in India. They were not successful. A black market developed to try to smuggle gold into silver to some degree, or try to smuggle gold into India to some degree. But now they have apparently rescinded those taxes and restrictions on the importation of gold into India, and we see a big jump in the amount of gold going into India. And it may be nothing more, nothing sinister necessarily. It might be black money, I don't know. But more than likely, it's just a question of the pent-up demand in India now has a legal opportunity to express itself, and they're making up for lost time. They couldn't easily buy gold for the past year. Now they can. They're making up for the last year, and we see a big spike in the numbers. And more than likely, that's the primary explanation for the jump and sales of gold from Switzerland to India that Yvonne was talking about in his question.
Today there was the consumers with immigration issues. They only have till September 5th to avoid losing health law coverage. You know, so it kind of makes you wonder if he won't be signing all these amnesty executive orders before September 5th. Hundreds of thousands of people who signed up under the new health care law risk losing their taxpayer-subsidized insurance because there were questions about their citizenship or immigration status. And they warned, the government had warned today that they have only 3 weeks to show that they're eligible. And out of the 8 million people that had signed up for the private coverage, more than 2 million at one point had discrepancies that had clouded their eligibility. They did reduce that number, but now there's still over 300,000 people that are that they can't confirm or show documentations that involve their citizenship or immigration. So again, is he going to be signing all these? Of course, he's on holiday. I'm not quite sure when he gets back from holiday. I think he does get back before Labor Day.
Holiday just before he goes on his next holiday. he's got it scheduled right now. We'll be back. Say hi to the staff. I am back. Get some fresh undies and some fresh socks and the rest of that sort of thing. And we're going to Hawaii. Play some more golf in Hawaii. We can play it up.
So he might be back before September 5th in order to sign all his.
Yeah, he might be back. He may stop in. And then who knows? He may have somebody just sign the bills.
Well, he has to do it before the other jokers get back.
Oh, who can say? You know, what does Washington have to do? We see enough strange things happening out of Washington where, what does have to? What's that got to do with Washington, D.C.? They pretty much do what they want, whatever they want, and without regard to the law, politics, or anything else. It's part of the reason why the government has the lowest approval rating. So far as I know, it is as low or lower than it's ever been. And in the time we've been following government, you know, with the approval ratings, everybody's sick of it. And because government doesn't even seem to care. All right? They don't mind. I mean, if General Motors operated the way the government does, they'd have been out of business years ago. Government can get away with it. General Motors can't. Thank God.
General Motors did a pretty good job. And I mean, you know, it was all by design. I think they were following government's.
May have thought they were the government or they could be the government, but they can't. Turns out only one outfit, only one bunch of clowns can be the government, and all the rest of them, they have to stay on the sideshows. I'm Alfred Adams. I want to thank all of you for listening. We'll be back tomorrow with, I'll be back tomorrow with Melody Cedarstrom on Financial Survival. In the meantime, may the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, and Frank, the producer. Bye.
I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. There never seems to be a single penny left for me.